Welcome to Day of Destiny with Dr. Michelle Correll, author, prophetic teacher, and pastor of Breath of the Spirit Prophetic Word Center. Dr. Correll can be seen weekly, nationwide, and around the world on her weekly telecasts that air on God TV, Impact, and Word Network. Now, let's join Dr. Correll by experiencing Day of Destiny, designed with your highest destiny in mind. Now, here is Dr. Correll.
Is when your purpose changes. That is when God begins to show you profit. I'm not talking about financial. I'm talking about your labor producing profit, seeing your vision come alive, seeing your dream come alive. Are you with me, saints? That labor is discussed in the text. Looking at Exodus chapter 1, I want you to see the physical Mitzrayim. The Bible says in verse 11, therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. Put your hands up right now and say, when I'm delivered from physical Mitzrayim, I'm delivered from my burdens. And now watch this. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pitom and Ramses. That means all of their labor went into Egypt and they could see no profit for their dream, for their future. There was no way to dream. There was no way to create. There was no way to allow God to produce a vision in them. They were only slaves to Pharaoh. Are you hearing this? Now, I want you to know, dear child of God, that the Bible teaches us a little secret about their backbreaking labor. The Bible calls their cities treasure cities. Can you turn to your neighbor and say treasure cities? I want to express this to you because in reality, they were storage cities. But the Bible is calling them treasure cities, not storage cities. Because it was there in the place of backbreaking labor that God was about to turn all of their tears into treasures. It was there that when the redemption came, God was going to use their pain to train for greatness. Are you hearing me, saints? Treasure cities, because they were going to take treasures out of their darkness. God wants you to know that in this time of Passover, there will be a redemption over the labor that you think does not produce profit. You will be taking treasures out of your darkness. Hallelujah. And hidden riches in the secret places. Praise God. This is why the narrative elaborates upon the physical labor, and the Egyptians made them serve with rigor. This word rigor isn't about elbow grease. This word rigor means to break apart. This means that the backbreaking labor and the conditions in Egypt were so severe and so cruel upon them that they began to fragment in their inward self. There's a time you can go through a type of abuse. You can go through a type of labor that makes you feel like you are breaking apart. And so the Bible is validating that experience of when a person is under so much stress, when a person is under backbreaking labor, that they begin to break apart. That's what this word rigor means. And the Bible says, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar, in brick, in all manner of service in the field, wherein they were made to serve, was with rigor. So that is physical Mitzrayim. Then there is, dear child of God, social Mitzrayim. Today, God wants to deliver us out of the social Mitzrayim. The social Mitzrayim is a system that you can't break out of. But God wants you to know today, through the power of the Holy Spirit, your personal Passover means that you are going to break out of a social system that locks up your dream. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be bound in a system that is going to lock up my dream. We're coming out of a system that says you cannot do this. This was social Mitzrayim. He used propaganda. And it says, he said to his people, behold, the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal wisely with them, putting a fear on the Egyptian people that the Israelites, that the children of Israel were something to be afraid of. Let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. Put your hands up and say, nothing can stop me from growing. Say this with me, heart multiplies. Hallelujah. Say this with me. I experience multiplication in my tribulation. So I'm not afraid of hard times. Are you with me, saints? The Bible says, come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass when there falleth out any war, that they join together with our enemies and fight against us. Propaganda. That they join with our enemies. In other words, accusing God's people with the warfare of psychological warfare right there. To use indoctrination and propaganda against the people of God. Oh, but God is in control. Hallelujah. It's a lie from the pit of hell. And it says here, lest they join together with our enemies and fight against us and get them up out of the land. If there's one thing that the system wants to do when you're in social Mitzrayim is to keep you down, but you're going up in God. Nothing can stop you from rising. You ought to say, I'm getting ready to rise out of this. So those are two levels of Mitzrayim, physical Mitzrayim and social Mitzrayim. Today, I want to speak to you about spiritual Mitzrayim, which is dealing with spirits. And I want to speak to you about emotional Mitzrayim. And the way that we become delivered from emotional Mitzrayim, I want to share with you a deliverance dynamic that I believe will bring God's people into deliverance tonight. Hallelujah. That deliverance dynamic, beloved saints, is the deliverance dynamic of being delivered from triggers of terror. Say this with me. Tonight, I'm ready to deal with my issues, and I'm ready to be delivered from triggers of terror. This is what the children of Israel were delivered of at the Red Sea. Now, I want you to understand that the text is dealing with the emotional Mitzrayim of the children of Israel like a divine therapist. God is a divine therapist. He understands our personal pain. And Moses presents the emotional Mitzrayim in such a way that he is actually revealing what it's like when a person is loosed from an abuser or comes out from an abusive relationship and is able to be set free. Are you with me? The way the text is dealing with Pharaoh and the way the text is dealing with the Egyptians is in the context of one who has been emotionally, physically, socially, and spiritually abused. Are you hearing this, saints? If you are, say amen. And when an abuser knows that they have to let go of the person they've been abusing, or when a person who has been abused says, you know what? I'm not taking this anymore. I am ready to be set free. I want you to understand, saints, that one of the most powerful deliverance dynamics that you and I must have if we're really serious about deliverance is we have to be determined for deliverance. You can't expect God to do it all. You have to be so determined for deliverance that rather than go back to Egypt, you'd rather face a Red Sea. I hope somebody's hearing me tonight. And so I want you to understand this concept of triggers of terror. Because whenever an abuser is coming after, or an abuser knows that the victim that they've been abusing is about to be free, that is when an abuser comes at the person that's been abused. I want you to see this. This begins in Genesis 31. I want you to understand Moses is going to use the narrative of Genesis 31, verse 22. He's going to use that narrative by using the exact words in Genesis 31, verse 22, that was used when Jacob became free from 22 years of bondage under Laban. He was there for 22 years. Laban never paid him his correct wages. Deceived him. Laban was one of the most wicked men in the Bible because he was a master manipulator and controller. There are some of us who have been under control and manipulation, a form of witchcraft that God wants to break off of your life tonight. Hallelujah. And so Moses is going to use the language at the Red Sea to be exactly the same language that is used in Genesis chapter 31. When Jacob was free from Laban. Let's go to Genesis chapter 31 for one moment. I want you to see it in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 31, and we are going to look at verse 22. Hallelujah. Genesis 31, verse 22. It says, it was told Laban that on the third day, Jacob had fled. Now, I want you to understand, this was after 22 years of being under the bondage of Laban, his father-in-law, who also abused his daughters. He was such an abuser that he didn't even care that the night that Rachel and Jacob should have been married, that he switched the girls. And he humiliated Leah and ruined her life. But God chose Leah. God chose Leah and brought her into a redemption that she would be the mother of six of the tribes of Israel. Hallelujah. God has a way of redeeming our pain. Hallelujah. But for Rachel, this was also shocking. And he didn't care because all he wanted to do was to keep Jacob longer. And he knew how to masterfully manipulate him into staying 14 years. That 14 years turned into 22 years. Are you hearing me, saints? But God said to Jacob in a dream after 22 years, he said, I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar, and where you vowed a vow unto me. Arise now and get out from this land and return to the land of your kindred. Now, I want you to see, this is where verse 22 comes in. Verse 22 says, and it was told Laban on the third day that Jacob was fled. Notice at the Red Sea, the language that is used. When Pharaoh realizes the children of Israel are not coming back. I hope you're hearing me. I said the same language that is used in Genesis 31, verse 22, is the very same language that is used when Pharaoh realizes that children of Israel are not coming back. I want you to know just before you're free, that serpent, that spirit is going to retaliate. And you better be ready to be strong enough to say, I'm not going back. Hallelujah. Notice the language. Notice it's the same wording. Looking at Exodus chapter 14, looking at verse 5, you will see the same language that was in Genesis 31, verse 22. Notice, it was told Laban, now watch this, and it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled. The same words that are used for Jacob. The Bible says it was told Laban that after 3 days, Jacob had fled. Notice the same words. Turn to your neighbor and say, that is done deliberately by Moses. Moses wants us to understand that we are not just dealing with Pharaoh coming after the children of Israel. It's a stronghold that wants to bring them back to Egypt. So we must understand that the Torah is using the same language for a reason, because the text, as it cross connects Exodus 14:5 with Genesis 31 verse 22, just as Laban was going after, so Pharaoh was going after the children of Israel. He's using terror tactics. Say this with me. The enemy's not going to use terror tactics to pull me back. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to understand, what is going to happen to the children of Israel? To set them up supernaturally for a deliverance. God, why did you allow this to happen in my life? Why is that same abusive spirit coming after me again? Some of us have dealt with the same spirit year in and year out, but God wants you to know tonight that sometimes God allows it because he's setting you up for a major deliverance. I hope you're hearing me. Hallelujah. And the way God is going to set the children of Israel up is that he's going to allow a trigger of terror to bring them into deliverance. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to understand something. A trigger can either be a noun or a verb. A trigger is a noun. It's a mechanism that just goes off on a machine of some sort or on a weapon. But when a trigger is a verb, it requires action. It awakens something. And emotionally, when there are triggers in our own lives, it awakens something in our memory that we tried to shut stuff and say didn't exist, something that is so painful that some experience we were going through triggered it. Are you hearing me tonight? Sometimes a smell can trigger a memory. Sometimes an emotional response can trigger a memory. Sometimes what you see can trigger a memory. Something looks so familiar, you can't handle it. There's just a memory that just goes off, and then all of a sudden, the terror of that experience that you have put into your subconscious mind is now awakened in you. Do you understand what I'm talking about? This can happen through daily living, through things we have to deal with in life that were very difficult, that we are begging God not to happen again. But all of a sudden, it seems like replay. When we get around a certain situation, and when we're very sensitive, and when it's lodged into our memory, when there is something that happened that traumatized us, it goes into the sensory part of our memory where we felt something, where we saw something, and the emotions are then awakened so that the trigger brings back the trauma. Are you hearing this? Let me give you a little example. I mean, this is really just a minute example. But there are some folks that are so sensitive and there's so many triggers inside of them that even a person will take something that's just a fluke as a rejection. Let's just say somebody was supposed to text somebody at a certain time in the morning and they didn't do it. Maybe the person forgot. Maybe the person's alarm didn't go off. Maybe the person just got, you know, occupied with something else. And they said, my goodness, they didn't text me. They didn't call me. They said they were going to. A trigger went off in their brain. Somebody is abandoning me again. Somebody is rejecting me again. When it wasn't a rejection at all. But the way we see it through the lens of our abandonment is we have not yet been delivered from the reproach of Egypt. So therefore, we are taking everything completely out of context. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. So God's remedy was that all the trauma in the memory vault has to be dealt with before you come out of Egypt. I hope you're hearing me, saints. God's gonna allow their memory to be triggered so that they face their fears. Turn to your neighbor and say, before Passover, I'm getting ready to face my fears. Hallelujah. I want you to see what God did here. Can I show you what God did? The Bible says, chapter 14, and the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pi-Hahiroth between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-Zephon. Before it, you shall encamp by the sea. I want you to understand, Moses is using more prophetic language. You see, when we understand the words in the Bible, and this is why oftentimes we take the time out to go through word studies, we take the time out to teach hermeneutics to God's people, because we don't want to miss the personal, powerful, prophetic meaning, nor do we want to miss the prophetic agenda of the author. Because once we understand the prophetic agenda, we understand the author's intent. What does the author want us to get out of this? And so we understand here that Moses is going to change the name of Pitom. How many of you remember that Pitom was the place the children of Israel were enslaved in? If you had to pass through a place that was filled with despair and a whip on your back when you did not perform what you were supposed to do, wouldn't it be a little traumatizing to pass through that area? Yes or no? And so the children of Israel had to pass through Pi-Hahiroth, which the real name is Pitom. But Moses changed the name. Do you know what he called it? He called it Mouth of Freedom. Hallelujah. Because it's not a place of bondage. It's going to become a place of freedom because they're going to face their fears. Are you with me? Turn to your neighbor and say, are you ready to face your fears? Are you ready when God allows something inside of you to be triggered, that you're not going to shove it down and stuff it anymore, that you're going to ask God, why am I so traumatized over this event? We're going to get deliverance. Hallelujah. Deliverance out of Mitzrayim. Somebody ought to give God the praise. So the Lord did something. He told Moses, turn them around. They were going one way. God says, you're going to make a U-turn. made a U-turn and they're facing Pi-Hahiroth, right where they were enslaved. And out of nowhere comes Pharaoh and his armies toward the children of Israel. But allowed this so that they would face their fears and have to deal with their issues before they went through the Red Sea. Are you hearing this, saints?
Thank you for joining us today on Day of Destiny. We invite you to our website at mydayofdestiny.com, where you can easily access other podcasts and obtain your copy of Dr. Corral's latest book, Secrets of the Anointing. Also, we want to take this moment to invite you to engage in extending your hand of kindness by planting your seed or offering for multitudes that include orphans, providing water wells, providing medical supplies, clinics, feeding programs, and many other services to the suffering church and through efforts of evangelism worldwide. Just go to our website and click the donate button or text to give. Text HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D to 7797. That's HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D to 7797. You are also invited to visit Dr. Michelle Corral Facebook or Instagram. We look forward to having you encounter the anointing with us on our next Day of Destiny podcast.